Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live Wide Open.
Off the end of the back straightaway, Larson's going to send it. Larson's in the wall. Larson's on Hamlin's back bumper. Logano leads down the back straightaway. Keselowski's in line. Now he turns him. Both Team Penske cars crash. Keselowski is up in a ball of flame.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we are gearing up for Throwback Weekend at the Darlington Raceway, and we are jam-packed with coverage in the PD region of South Carolina. Coming up this weekend, we'll get to some odds as they pertain to the Goodyear 400. But this week, we want to do a little something different. If you listened to Tuesday night's NASCAR live show, we had a segment in there where MRN announcers gave their descriptions of their beginnings to their career with the network. You heard from me, you heard from Alex Hayden, you heard from Dave Mooney, and you also heard from Jeff Striegel, who lumped me in with his first experience, and we want to get to the bottom of this. Actually, we just want to spotlight Jeff, all that he does, and retrace those steps through that first weekend that he had at the Texas Motor Speedway. So let's go to the NASCAR Live Wide Open Hotline, and let's bring in the native of Grand Rapids, Michigan himself. He is one of the co-anchors of the Motor Racing Network. Jeff Striegel is in the house. Jeffrey, welcome in. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, as you are, getting ready to go to Darlington this weekend for the Goodyear 400 race weekend. But we wanted to circle back and follow up on what we aired Tuesday night on NASCAR Live at 7 Eastern about your story, about your first race and your first broadcast with the Motor Racing Network, and you lumped me right into the middle of it. So let's get to the bottom of this. Let's start with this airport pickup. This eludes my memory. I don't remember any of this. I hope it wasn't as terse at the time as it sounded when you retold the story.
Mike, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I don't remember a lot of things at all, as you well know. But I remember that day. You know, I don't think it's lost on any of us the importance of wearing the blue. And I think I said that, you know, when you wear the blue shirt with the MRN logo, it's a privilege. And it was a privilege to fly to Texas. It was a privilege to wait and be picked up by Mike Bagley. And I just remember Mike getting in the car, sat in the back seat. I honestly don't remember who the others were that were with us as, you know, we made our exit from the airport. But, you know, you were, as always, you were kind, you were knowledgeable, you shared information, and I just sat there like a sponge. I mean, I just wanted to hear everything. First of all, I was awestruck, Mike. I grew up listening to the Motor Racing Network like we all did. And, you know, listening to Eli and to Alan Bestwick and Joe Moore, and of course, listening to Barney Hall, and then having the opportunity to to ride with you, knowing that my first event was just a day away. I was nervous, and you were there to support me every step of the way.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like it.
Yes, indeed.
What was your audition process like, and what was the process like getting to that Texas weekend?
Well, that's going to take way too much time. That was the audition that everybody, you know, was so fearful of. I remember flying down there. I was delayed. It was Daytona, and we were supposed to do the Goodies Dash series practice. Or actually, we were supposed to do the Xfinity series, then the Busch series practice. Well, my flight got delayed going into Daytona. I didn't even arrive in Daytona until after midnight. I went to the hotel because I tried to book an inexpensive hotel. Well, I got one. It was on the beach. I finally got to my room, and when I walked into this closet of a room, it didn't smell right, Mike. I think you remember this story. There was no way I could sleep in this room. So at like 2 in the morning, I'm in my car driving up and down A1A just trying to find a place to sleep. I finally found a room. I got in there at about 3 o'clock. I slept for 2 hours, got up and went to the racetrack. And when we got there, we were going to audition with Alan and Eli. And David Hyatt, of course, you know, everybody knows David Hyatt, the president of the Motor Racing Network at that time. He walks in, he goes, guys, there's been a little bit of a change. We're not going to be doing the Busch series. We're going to be doing the Goodies Dash series. All right, Mike, I didn't know anybody, no one. I didn't know a single name, and I had studied, you know, to be prepared to do the Busch series. So I get out there in turn one, I'm with Joe Moore, and I don't know anybody at all. They put him under the green flag, and they're like, just, you know, call anybody you want. Put Mike Bagley in the car if you want to put Mike Bagley in the car. We don't care about the names. Well, they come down the front straightaway, and they flip them end over end, side over side. I'm calling this wreck. I feel like this is absolutely the worst possible audition I could do. They clean up that wreck. We get ready to do it again, and what happens, Mike? The same thing. They wad them up going off the end of the front straightaway in turn one. They're busting cars all over the place. I'm thinking, there's no way that I'm ever going to get a call back. I did, and I don't know why, Mike, but there must have been something about me calling a wreck among drivers that I didn't even know that David Hyatt liked, and he called me back and said, you're going to Texas.
How long did it take to get that call back, and how long did it take, number one, for you to process what had happened, but also to get that call and realize that you're going to get that opportunity to go on the air in full broadcast mode instead of audition mode?
I remember that day, too, very well, because I was in Chicago. I worked for Gordon Food Service at the time, and we were there doing a food show. And the phone rang, and I had, you know, David's number there. And I said, you know, what can I do for you? He's like, hey, you know, we listened to it, and we want to invite you back. And we want you to go to Texas. And I mean, that was such a huge moment, which is why I remember where I was and the conversation that took place. So it was just a really cool thing. I think I hung up the phone, and I don't think I said a word the rest of the day. I was just in such a mood, like, I can't believe it, you know, that this is the opportunity that I wanted, and it's going to come, you know, it's going to come true. And so it was just it was a big, big moment for me a long, long time ago, but it's one that I'll never forget for sure.
Now, a lot of listeners may not know, but you used to race. How long did you race? What did you race, and where did you race it?
Well, we raced all over the Great Lakes area, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, obviously. They were called a NAMRA Formula Indy or a Mini Champ, which meant North American Mini Champ Racing Association. And it's the same before me, Scott Goodyear, the IndyCar driver, used to race in that same division. Tim Steele, a lot of people will remember Tim Steele. When I came into it, Mike, it was early 1980s, probably before you were born. Tim Steele, that's how I got to know Tim, because Tim lived in the West Michigan area, and he was racing those as well. And I raced them up until like 1994, and family and expenses and things like that kind of got in the way, and it was time to just step out of it. But we raced, you know, Indianapolis Speedrome, as an example, Sandusky, Toledo, Berlin, South Bend. We raced all over the place, and it was really a very, very cool time of my life. I loved it, loved every minute of it.
Now, you were the track record holder at Berlin for a while. Who took that from you, and when did that happen?
Nobody.
Oh, it's still there? I thought somebody took that from you.
No, it's kind of an interesting story, because the second to last race that I ever ran was at my home track here at Berlin. And on that day, I think what you're mixing up there is Dylan Welch.
Ah, yes.
Holds the track record in a midget here, and I hold it in the mini champ, and our times were like 5/100ths of a second difference. But yeah, so we've kind of kidded each other. He was quicker in a midget than I was in a mini champ, but that's why you're thinking that. And on that day, it was crazy, because I knew I was going to wrap it up, and my boys were old enough to be able to be here. They helped me on the race car. I mean, they're young, but they knew what was happening. And I just wanted to come to Berlin and put on a good show, knowing that I would never be back there again in a race car. We ended up going out and setting quick time and actually won the feature that night. My last win in that division came at my home track. So that, too, is something that I'll always cherish.
Did you have aspirations to go beyond that? I mean, were you looking at bigger racing, national level racing, or were you just doing this with being content of doing it on the local level?
Local level, Mike. I knew that I was not ever going to go any further. I mean, there were times when I dreamed of driving a super modified. There were times that I dreamed of running. I really wanted to run a midget. You know, at that time, Thursday Night Thunder was really making headway, and everybody is tuned into ESPN and watching midgets racing, you know, down at Raceway Park. And I wanted to get into one of those, and we just never did. May have had the opportunity once or twice, but it just didn't work out. So, I was happy with what I was doing. You know, we'd go to Sandusky and be on the same bill as the Super Modifieds, and I just fell in love with those, and I always wanted to drive one. I never have had the opportunity. But no, Mike, I knew that my talent was going to be in a mini champ, and that was about as far as I was ever going to go.
Well, glad it did not work out, and glad that this did work out, and that Texas that Daytona audition turning into your first Texas race has turned into this, as you are now one of our leaders on Sunday, you and Alex in the booth with Todd and Rusty up there with you as well. This is something that a lot of folks may not understand that aren't a part of the traveling show that we are a part of, but we sign up for it. We love it. This opportunity that we have takes us away from home a lot, because we're at the racetrack on the weekends. And what a lot of folks don't understand, that when you leave home and you go to the racetrack, we have lots of brothers and sisters waiting for us there. It could be on the crew, the MRN crew. It could be in the garage. It could be in the media center. But we spend, in some cases, as much time with those folks, if not more, than we do with our blood relative. And I'll speak to our crew and our group, like you and Alex and Dave. We are very close-knit. And I view you guys as the brothers I never had, because in a lot of ways, I'm closer with you guys than I are my remaining blood relatives. And there's something to be said for that camaraderie and that brotherhood that we have at the racetrack each and every week. And I think that comes through on the air as well.
I would agree with you 100%. I spend more time with you and Alex and Dave and our producer Ryan Horn and the other producers. You're 100% right. We're getting ready to do it again this weekend at Darlington. And just to give somebody a peek behind the curtain, by the time I get home, the same thing with you, Mike, by the time we got home, on Monday. It was well into Monday afternoon. You've got to unpack. You've got to get ready to go because you and I both leave tomorrow morning to go to Darlington. So I have been home, or will have been home, for exactly 2.5 days, which is about enough time to unpack, repack, get your notes ready, maybe cut the grass, and then it's back to the airport and back to Darlington. But, you know, you've been doing it for 30 plus. I'm closing in on 30. And it's obvious that if we didn't like it, we would have changed it a long time ago. I look forward to, you know, meeting you and I are going to meet up in Charlotte and then, you know, drive over to Darlington. We're going to spend the day together. We're going to spend the entire weekend together before we do it all over again to go to the All-Star race. So you're 100% right. We have we've become close over the years. I wouldn't change that for anything. And you're right. Motor Racing Network is a group of brothers and sisters that love what they do, and we do it hopefully with the passion and the commitment that the race fan is looking for.
And I think that comes through on the air. Wouldn't change anything in the world, would not change it at all. Can't wait to get to Darlington, obviously, for the racing, but obviously being able to reconvene with you and the rest of the crew. We're going to have a blast this weekend. Just wanted to give you a little extra chance to expand on what you gave us on Tuesday night. And there were some things that were left on the cutting room floor, but glad that audition went well and that first race at Texas went well, because from that has obviously blossomed a very successful broadcasting career for you. But most importantly for me is the brotherhood that you have with all of us, including me. And again, would not swap that out for any amount of money in the world.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We do it because we enjoy it, but it wouldn't be the same if we did not have the type of relationship that we do as a broadcast team. And you're right, it is truly a family anytime we're together.
Appreciate the time, my friend. I'll pick you up at the airport tomorrow, and it'll be a far different ride than what you had that first time in Texas.
I know it will be, and I know we're going to make a couple stops along the way. We're going to laugh. We're going to get ready for what's going to be a great weekend for sure at Darlington. It always is, my friend, and I will see you tomorrow when you pick me up at the airport like you did some 28 years ago.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it, Mike. Thank you.
I love Jeff. He's been a great friend. He's been a great mentor to me, and he's a great guy to be around. We have played many a round of Golden Tee Golf over the years, and we've watched many a race together. And I can't wait to get with Jeff and the rest of the crew this weekend at Darlington. Speaking of Darlington, let's get the odds for the Goodyear 400. Producer Trey is here. Trey, I'm curious in which direction Las Vegas is going this weekend for our visit, one of two this year, to the PD region of South Carolina.
Well, Mike, it would not surprise you to find out that the favorite this weekend is the most recent winner in the Cup Series and the most recent winner at the Darlington Raceway. It's Kyle Larson. He is 4-1 to get another win at the Lady in Black this weekend. Denny Hamlin, right behind him, has owned Darlington for a lot of his career. He is 5-1, and then right behind them is another former Darlington winner. It's Martin Truex Jr. He's at +650, and Truex is where I'm going this weekend. I think that's the best bet. I mean, if you go back to last week, if we don't see Kyle Busch spinning out there, I think Truex probably passes Hamlin, who's saving fuel and ends up getting his first win of the year at Kansas. In this race last year, at Darlington, Truex led over 100 laps before crashing out in the back half of the race. So I think that Truex could be the winner this weekend, and I think he's going to kind of vault himself into that conversation. And we might be looking at the same conversation we had last year with, for much of the year, we were saying our championship favorites is going to be two from Hendrick, Byron and Larson, and two from Gibbs, Hamlin and Truex. I think we might be entering that same kind of scenario this year, especially if Truex can get on the board in terms of wins. A couple of long shots that I like. One driver that I just mentioned, he's not the steepest of long shots, but Kyle Busch is down at 15-1. Former Darlington winner, but it came way back over a decade ago. Kyle is looking to get a win in the Cup Series for the 20th consecutive year. Just a massive streak there. Kyle almost won the Southern 500 at Darlington just a couple of years ago in the next-gen car. Had mechanical trouble. That's when he was finishing up with Gibbs. Ended up exiting in the first round of the playoffs. And then another driver that I like this weekend has a ton of momentum, three straight top 10 finishes, and has won at Darlington multiple times in the Xfinity Series. It's Noah Gregson. He's all the way down at 40-1 this weekend. So Gregson and Busch are my long shots, but I think Martin Truex Jr. celebrates in victory lane in the same paint scheme that he won the 2016 Southern 500 in.
You just put a smile on the faces of Martin Truex Jr. fans, faces everywhere, because we've been waiting for that first win. I agree with you. I thought it was coming at Kansas this past weekend. And, well, here's to hoping that it comes at Darlington this weekend in the Goodyear 400. We have a jam-packed broadcast schedule for you this weekend. Our coverage will begin Friday night with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the Buckle Up South Carolina 200, Motor Racing Network airtime 7 p.m. Eastern. We're double dipping on Saturday. We've got coverage of practice and qualifying for the Cup cars at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. A very early NASCAR Xfinity Series, Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200, 1 p.m. Eastern time Saturday. And then, of course, on Sunday, it'll be NASCAR Live Race Day. Motor Racing Network's coverage of the NASCAR Cup Series and the Goodyear 400 will begin at 2 p.m. Eastern. A side note, if you're going to be in Darlington and you're taking in that Xfinity Series race, they have resurrected the parade through downtown Darlington, and Motor Racing Network has a float. We'll all be on it. We hope we cross paths with you. We're, from what I understand, we are going to be loaded down with candy, and we're going to be letting the candy fly in the streets of Darlington on Saturday. Hope to see you there. Hope to bump into you at the racetrack. If you can't make it there, we obviously will have you covered on the air on the Motor Racing Network. For producer Trey and the rest of the MRN team, I'm Mike Bagley. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget our jam-packed schedule from Darlington, NASCAR Live Tuesday night at 7, and we'll be back 1 week from today, Thursday, with another download of NASCAR Live Wide Open. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com.
Craftsman in your hand, nothing's stopping you.
Not a chair, creaky steel, only the engine repair.
Craftsman in your hand, nothing you can't do.
Make your lawn, make your John, or that kitchen hat on.
Craftsman in your hand, nothing's stopping you.
From outdoor care to home and auto repair, do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy and four tires to Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Ryan's not here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak. Thank you.